So just a bit of housekeeping before I push forward with the service. I know that the pastor and the first lady, they're going to want to greet everyone after service is complete, but we're going to ask that everyone, as they exit, they use the side door with the ramp as you exit. So now we're going to have Brother Gabriel.
John 20, 26 through 29. And after 8 days, his disciples were inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Thank God to Gabe and to the Josh, turn my mic down a little. Take that hollow out. Or if I need to use another mic, just let me know. Good. Yeah, there you go. Good. That's a lot better. Thank you for doing that. Come on, let's give Joshua a hand for helping me out. Hey, we thank God for another Easter Sunday morning. We thank God for another year that the Lord has kept us, right? Remember where you were last year, Easter and Good Friday. We're so glad that this year we're back into the house of the Lord. Amen. So glad to see so many of your smiling faces this morning. So glad for all of you that are joining us via online, YouTube, and Facebook. God bless you. Thank you for joining with us this Easter Sunday. Hey, I am going to invite you to turn in your Bibles. Just going to preach a simple sermon this Sunday morning found in the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew. Amen? If you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn to the New Testament. It's going to be the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. I'm just going to read the first couple of verses. And then I'm also going to add to the witness out of the Old Testament. And a quarter to the first person who finds this, Zechariah 9:9. Amen. And I don't want to wait till 11 o'clock before y'all find it. All right. It's in the Old Testament. It's the book of Zechariah, the 9th chapter and the 9th verse. Amen. So while you're looking for that, Matthew 21, Zechariah 9:9, I do want to honor our liturgist for today. And also, I want to let you guys know that our minister, Marcy Abrams, and I am saying that correctly, we thank God for her leadership of the service today. But also, we thank her for her participation in the body of Christ. Many of you do not know, but she is currently serving as the interim pastor of Open Door Baptist Church. Come on, let's praise her for that. Let's thank her for her sacrifice. Amen. A member here and serving also as the interim pastor at Open Door Baptist Church. Thank God. Thank you, Sister Marcy, for your dedication and commitment to the body of Christ. Now, I gotta acknowledge her husband too, because her husband pulls double duty every Sunday. He starts us out in our worship every Sunday morning. Deacon Aaron Abrams, and somewhere around 1040, 1045, he dashes over to open. I'm just surprised he hasn't gotten a ticket yet because he's moving. He serves us here, and then he goes and supports his wife and serves at Open Door Baptist as well. So Deacon Aaron Abrams, thank you, man of God. We appreciate you. Amen. If you have those passages, I am going to invite you to stand with me. The first lesson they teach you in preaching, you got to be able to stand, okay? You can't preach sitting down. You know what I mean? You got to be able to stand for the word of God. Amen. I do want to say this before we give our attention to the text, way of reminder, on this coming Tuesday, we will be eulogizing Brother Johnny Brown. So for you, it'll be this Tuesday. It'll be taking place down the street at Christ of Calvary Covenant Church. The viewing will be from 9 to 11. The homegoing service will begin at 11 a.m. Amen. So I just wanted to share that with you, the way of information. If you can join us, we'd love you to come and be supportive of the Brown family, be supportive of the Davis family. And for those of you that cannot come, why not keep them in prayer? Why not lift them up? Amen. Because the hard days in losing a loved one often occurs after all of the celebration, after all of the home going, after all of that has ended and the phone calls stop, the cards stop coming. That's when the real weight of loss really sets in. So they really need our prayers more now than ever. Amen. And so God bless you. We thank you again for that. So if you're there, Matthew 21 says, now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them both and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. Let me stop even before I go further. Do you realize that the Lord has need of you? Do you realize that? Even as he has need at that time, as he was entering Jerusalem, he had need of this, really the foal, the baby donkey, but he had the mother come along so that she could encourage the donkey to come. He had need of them then, and so Christ has need of you now. Right? I don't say nothing else. I don't preach the message right there. The Lord has it. So now is the time. Now, this is the season for you to shake off COVID, to shake off the doldrums, to shake off the blues. Why? Because the Lord has need. I wish I had a real church. A real church would respond to that. They would know that the Savior has need of me. Verse 4 says, and this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went, did as Jesus had commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt. They laid their clothes on them, and they set him on them. A very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others put down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, and all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Amen. Come on, let's add to the witness out of Zechariah 9:9. Hopefully I bought you enough time to get there and find it by now. There it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just, having salvation. It's coming lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, and a foal of a donkey. And he says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and from the horse from the Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Amen. This morning, I'm going to put a brief title on this sermon, and I'm just going to call it Hosanna to the Son of David. Amen. Shall we bow our heads? Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth and in all of heaven. Thy name shall be praised from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. It is our responsibility to praise the name of the Lord our God. And so, Lord, this morning we report for duty. Lord, this morning we let you know that we are on our post. We are on our assignment. And we realize today, above all days, that we are here to lift your name, to give your name the glory, and to exalt the name of your Son, and to bless you for blessing us. For if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, where would we be? What condition would we find ourselves in? But oh, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory by and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we invite you into this place. We invite you into our bodies. We invite you into our spirit. Holy Ghost, take up your residence. Dwell richly. Abide fully in our lives, through our lives. Calls us to be a living epistle. Calls us to be a living testimony. A walking praise unto the power and might of our God. And so we bless you this morning. We thank you for the resurrection of your Son. We thank you for the resurrection of our lives from the grips of sin, from the sting and scourge of death. By your own power, you have raised us up that we should be saved from our sins and be partakers and joint heirs with your beloved Son, Christ himself. So amplify your word this morning. Lift those that are downtrodden. Mend the brokenhearted. Heal those that are sick, those that are weary, and those that are weak. By the power of your gospel, let their hearts be encouraged. Let their spirit be renewed. Cause them to feel thy presence. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of the beloved Christ. All of God's people say amen, amen, and amen again. On your way to your seat, give God the best praise. On your way to your seat, just give him your best praise. Put every hand together. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for being alive. Thank you for being alive in me. So let me start by promising you that before the year is out, I will preach you an Easter sermon. All right? Before the year is out, I got 9 months left, 8 months left, I will preach you an Easter sermon. Because if you look at our text this morning, you realize that this is a passage most often equated with Palm Sunday. This is the fact, the story, the telling of the story of Jesus and his entry into Jerusalem. Now, on last Sunday, we spoke to you about the preamble to Palm Sunday. And this Sunday, even though it is Easter, we're actually going to revisit this text and look at some of the details regarding the entry of Jesus in to Jerusalem. Because I'll let you in into something, into your Bible study. If you can understand Palm Sunday, get this, you can rejoice on Easter. The reason why most people don't have any joy on Easter Sunday, resurrection, because they never understood Palm Sunday. And he, watch this. The Savior comes and goes, and they don't even know it. That's why when they come on Easter, they're dead. They're lifeless. That's why last Sunday I gave you the preamble. Blind Bartimaeus gets you ready for what Christ is about to do. You follow what I'm saying? But if you miss it, if you miss Palm Sunday, you will be like those in our passage today with all of the triumphant entry. They still said what? Who? They didn't realize it. And he came and went, and they never knew it. Are you ready for it? All right, so let's go. I got to preach quick this Sunday. So let's get right to it. It says, now he draws near to Jerusalem, coming from Bethpage, crosses the Mount of Olives. It said he goes into a village, says, there you'll find a donkey, loose them, bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, just tell them the Lord has need of them. And they will immediately release them to you, right? Now, this is not even in the sermon, but that there tells you that he has divine power, right? One, he tells them where to go. Watch this, having never been there before himself. He's not telling them to go to his cousin's house. He was just there last weekend, and he saw the coat. And Jesus is directing them to go to a place that he himself has never been. Right? He said, go. You'll find it. And the Bible says what? They went and they found it. What? Just like he said. Right? He says, it's another clue as to who he is. Right? You got to see him on Palm Sunday to recognize him on Easter. He says, if anyone stops you, all you have to do is simply tell them that the Lord has need of them. Come on, we're in the middle of West Philly. Imagine if someone came to your house, said, look, I need your car right now. Well, first, who are you? I don't know you. You don't live around that. No, that's not important. I was told to come and get your car for what? What do you need my car? The Lord has need of it. There you go. Right? That's God working. Are you with me? Right? And this is God working when? On Palm Sunday. And you have to recognize him on Palm Sunday so that you can praise him on Easter Sunday. Is my real church here this Sunday? If you got it, say, I got it. So as 4:4 said, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. Again, seeing God on Palm Sunday. All of this takes place so that it might validate what was spoken to Israel hundreds of years ago. God made a promise by his prophet Zechariah hundreds of years before. And it was these prophets, these passages that Israel would rehearse in their religious education year after year. So year after year, they keep hearing that their king will one day come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, right? This is a part of their religious, this is Sunday school to them. This is what they were taught. This is what they were instructed in, right? And so now Palm Sunday comes, and lo and behold, here comes a guy riding in on a donkey. Look at somebody and say, won't God do it? Listen, here's your preaching point. Get this will help you. If you get this and run out of here, you're already blessed. Listen to this. God always keeps his word. I wish I had a real church. My God always keeps his word. So the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of a man that he should repent. Hath the Lord not spoken it, shall he not make it good. Get this. The reason why I like promises from God better than I like promises from you, right? Sometimes people can have the best intentions in wanting to help you, right? They are genuinely sincere when they say, I am going to do this for you. They genuinely are sincere when they say, if you ever get in trouble, call me, right? They're not lying. They're not being disingenuous. But then when those moments come and you do need to depend on them, or as the song says, lean on them, oftentimes our family, friends, college, coworkers often fail. Watch this, and I'm not even putting them down. I'm saying sometimes they fail simply because at that point in time, they're no longer able. Today, I can help you out. By Wednesday, I don't know, by Wednesday you may need to help me out. Right? That's just the reality of life, right? It's the vicissitude. One day you're up, the next day you're what? Down. But the wonderful thing about God is that God is always able to do just what he said. Whether it's this week or next week, this year or next year, even if he said it 100 years ago, God is still what? Faithful. I thought I'd have a better Easter crowd. I thought y'all supposed to be lively on Easter. Let me get you, I'm going to give you this and get off the point. And maybe this will do something in your spirit. Even if God speaks something years ago, hundreds of years ago, because he is faithful, even when you die, I wish I had a real church. The Bible said of Levi that God remembered his tithe unto the fourth generation. God remembered that Levi blessed it. Because God remembered what Levi did, God turned around and blessed Levi's grandchildren's grandchildren. Why? Because he was faithful and he always keeps his word. Somebody in the church said God keeps his word. Here it is. Here it is. Let's keep going. We got that. So now verse 5. This is what the prophet said, and we read it in Zechariah. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. And so they went, and they did, and they bring him, they surround him, the multitude, they pull down branches, and they strow, they put the clothes on the donkey, palms in the roadways, and Jesus is now coming. And in verse 9, they say, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So I want to start by working Hosanna, because we hear it Palm Sunday, but the reality is that many of Christian faith don't understand or know the meaning of the word Hosanna. Okay? So, you know, I'm a teaching pastor, and so I like to not only come and praise and worship, I like to instruct you in your faith. So Hosanna is of Hebrew origin, though it is found in the New Testament, which is primarily written in Greek, Greek and Aramaic. Yet this is a Hebrew word, primarily like the Old Testament. Right? So here it is. That phrase, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna is often thought of as a declaration of praise, and many treat it similar to the word hallelujah. But in actuality, Hosanna is a plea for salvation. That's what it means, okay? Here it is. I'm going to give it to you. The Hebrew root words are found in Psalms 118. There in verse 25, it says, "Save us, we pray, O Lord." You were to read that phrase in the Hebrew text, it would say, Hosanna. Okay? There it is. The Hebrew words, Yesha, means deliver and save us. And the word Anna means beg or beseech. And when these words are combined and placed in English, this is where we get the term Hosanna. Hosanna means I beg you to save me. Okay? Are you with me? Hosanna means I beg you to save me. Or some would translate it, please deliver us. Okay? So anytime from here on in, when you hear that phrase, Hosanna, what that means, you are saying to whoever you are declaring that to, you're saying, I beg you to save me. Okay? If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, good. And so, this quote from Zechariah 9:9, this precise fulfillment of the messianic prophecy could not have escaped the Jewish crowds, who when they saw it responded with titles and accolades befitting only for the Messiah himself. To tell the daughter of Zion, that is another phrase to say the city of Jerusalem, meaning the people of God. Behold, I told you on last Sunday, Matthew's good at this. He uses that behold to what? Capture your attention. To say what? You need to pay attention. Whoever's next to you, nudge them, say, hey, pay attention. Behold. He says, behold, your king is coming. Lowly. Okay? That right there, you gotta step back. The two don't go together. Whenever a king comes into a capital city, he never comes in lowly, right? I don't know if you were around last, I think it was middle of last week, the vice president came in, right? And blocked up traffic back up to Pittsburgh. Everybody was all out. Why? Because someone of that stature, they can't sneak in and out of town, right? It's a lot of pomp and circumstance and security that surrounds them, right? And so if we can understand that of our leaders, how much more for the leader of the world and of heaven itself in Jesus Christ? That when he comes, if he's coming as king, and that is the correct declaration, how could he come lowly? All right? You got to know your Bible, okay? Okay, here he is, the daughter of Zion. Your king is coming lowly. Not high. And this would have meant something to in those days, because in those days, when their leaders came into Rome, came back from battle, it was always a big parade, right? It was always a big deal, right? But when Jesus comes, he doesn't come lifted up, he comes lowly. And this is proof of his lowliness. He comes sitting on a donkey, right? In biblical times, when men of importance, government leaders, religion, when they came in the town, when they came in, they weren't on donkeys. They were on white stallions. They were on the best of the best horses that were available. And many, oftentimes, they wouldn't ride the horse. Oftentimes, they would sit back in a chariot and be drawn by six white horses. Y'all should remember that from your child. That's how she came, right? Riding, sick. Oh my goodness. Y'all too churchy now. I done got y'all so serious now, y'all. That's how he came. He's sitting on a donkey. And it comes, and when he comes in this donkey, he's lowly. This is an indication that even though he is king, he is what? Humble. Right? And here it is. If you get this, you get the whole sermon. This is why most people miss Jesus. Because he comes humble. Because he comes lowly. Because he comes in an unoffensive way. Isn't it amazing how people are drawn to misery? You ever wonder about that? You would say, I get to participate in folks' conversation. And a lot of times when I'm hearing folks talk, I'd be like, well, why didn't you leave? Why didn't you just not go? They're telling me, I knew before I left that this was going to go down. And I'm just thinking, why did you go? If you knew that was going to happen, if you knew they were there and they were going, and all of this was going to, if you knew that, why did you go? People love drama. They love, and look, and the worse it is, the more they're attracted to. That's why people are not attracted to Jesus. Because Jesus comes lowly. He comes humble. Jesus comes and says, come unto me as you are. Come unto me. Out of any way, any situation, I'll come to you. I'll be on your level. And yet people walk by him every day. Are you with me? Okay, good. Here he is. And so he is. Now let's deal with Hosanna. We have this phrase, Hosanna, meaning to save us. And then they call him the Son of David, which meaning he is Israel's eternal king. And then they say blessed, meaning sent from God, is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had someone be so consistently good to you that when you hear their name, you smile? Y'all need better friends. That's all I can say. Good God of mercy. You should at least lifted one finger. You know, maybe not the whole. And maybe this is the reality of where we are, but someone who has been consistently, not here, just every time you called, they were right there. Every time you said you needed them, here they come. There were times they came and you didn't call them. Am I talking to anybody? Look at somebody and say, I got one friend. I may not have a whole lot of friends on Facebook, but in real life, I got one friend. And whenever I need them, they are always there. Look at this. And they bless you so much and so consistently that when you just hear their name, a smile comes on your face. When someone just tells you, I'm on my way. They're not even there yet. They just said, I'm stopping by. It puts a smile, it puts joy in your heart. That's how our relationship with Christ should be over time. That Christ has so consistently blessed us that whenever we hear his name, whenever we enter his house, whenever we encounter his word, because it has proven true so many times. One songwriter said it like this. I get joy when I think about what the Lord has. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be him that comes in the name of the Lord. Somebody shout yes. Because God has blessed him so consistently. And they realize he is their promised king. The crowd shouts, Hosanna, meaning save us. in the highest, recognizing that his kingdom is not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly reign and rule. And so they shout, Hosanna in the highest. So as Jesus rode on this donkey, he enters Jerusalem. The crowds are perfectly right, correct in shouting, Hosanna. They were acknowledging Jesus as their Messiah, as shown by their address or title, Son of David. Theirs was a cry for salvation and a recognition that Jesus alone could save them. Theirs was a cry for salvation and a recognition that Jesus can save them. Look at somebody and say, Hosanna. Yeah, Hosanna. Save us. Deliver us. We recognize you as our Savior and the only one that can deliver us. In the old church, we used to sing a song, To the Utmost, Jesus Saves. Anybody remember that? To the Utmost, Jesus Saves. Son David Perry, he can pick you up, turn you around. Hallelujah. Why? Jesus Saves. And because he saves, that's why we lend our voices to the crowd in Jerusalem and we shout what? Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of God. Hosanna in the heavens. Hosanna in the highest. Because Christ alone can save. Christ alone can deliver us. Christ alone can raise us up again. Somebody shout Hosanna. To the utmost. He can say to the utmost, regardless your condition, situation, predicament, or problem, to the utmost, that's why we shout Hosanna. Here it is. But in spite their recognition of who he was, and in spite of the plea for salvation by the words Hosanna, yet in verse 10, the Bible tells us that as he came into the city, many in the city heard what was going on. Verse 10 tells us they said, who is this? Now last week, in the preamble, I told you blind Bartimaeus, though physically blind, yet had his spiritual eyes opened to who Jesus really was, which he also caused him to cry out, what? Thou Son of David. Right? Now, he's in Jerusalem, the holy city, the place of worship, the place where three religions come and claim their heritage. When the Messiah comes, the conversation they have is, who is this? Now, this is the part of the message. This is why I told you early on that the Lord has need of you. What the people in the crowd realize is the same thing we are dealing with today. Many people do not know who Jesus is. Okay? Everybody who does this does not mean they're saved. That does not mean Jesus Christ is their Savior. It means they have heartburn, they belch, And here we are thinking they're one of the 12 disciples. Many people today, let me come at it this way. Religious research shows today there are less people attending church on a regular basis than at any other time in history. Simply put, there are fewer people doing what you are doing right now. Not more, less. And because less are going to church, less are aware of who Jesus is. Right? And now let me tie the sermon and get out of it. Just as he needed the colt and the foal at the beginning of the sermon, so does Christ now need you and I at the end of the sermon, right? Because look at verse 11 and we're done with it. And so the multitude responded and said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Galilee." Christ is now depending on you and I to tell the world who Jesus really is. Listen, and we've got our work cut out for us because so many are refuting the authority and the legitimacy of Jesus Christ as Savior of the world. There are many yet still today that refuse to accept or believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead in spite of an empty tomb, in spite of a mammoth stone being rolled away, in spite of the veil in the temple being rent in half, in spite of the many witnesses that saw him, including Mary Magdalene, Peter and James, 500 at Galilee, the world still denies who Jesus is. But thanks be to God, we have the word. Hosanna! 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 To the Son of David! Hosanna! To the Lamb of God! Hosanna! To Jesus Christ! Somebody shout, yeah! He's our Savior. He's our Lamb of God. Our soon coming King. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Lamb of God. Hosanna to the prophet from Nazareth. Hosanna to Mary's baby. Hosanna to the carpenter's son. Hosanna. Woo! I dare you to praise it. I dare you to shout Hosanna. Is he your Savior? Is he your King? If he is, give the Lord a praise. Yes. Where are the children of God? Where are the daughters of Zion? Where are the men of faith? Give your God a praise. Give your God a praise. Thank you.
my God too. He's my Savior, my Lord, my soon coming King. So I shout, Hosanna. Woo! Touch three people and just tell them, Hosanna. Get up, move all around the church. Tell three people, Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna to the Lord Christ. Hosanna to the Lord God. Hosanna. Woo! Yes. Yes. I got to tell somebody. I've got to tell the world that the Savior is come. Woo! Yes, my Lord, my Savior, my Master, to Him I say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. My. Yeah. Yeah. That's the proper praise. That's the proper praise. Hosanna this Easter. My. The Bible tells us to give every man a reasonable answer concerning your faith. That's the word of God. So my message to my church is the next time someone asks you, how did you make it over? Tell them that his name is Jesus. So the next time somebody asks you who healed your body, tell them that his name is Jesus. The next time he brings you through a financial crisis and they ask you, how in the world did you make it over? Tell them that his name is... What's his name, church? What's his name, church? What's his name, church? Shout Hosanna! Because he has saved us from our sins. So the responsibility in this message is not on Christ. The responsibility is on you and I to answer the question that all the world is asking. Who is this?
When they look at your life, all they're going to say, who did it? I know you, so I know you didn't do it. I know your family. We grew up on the same block. So I know your family didn't do it. Have the courage and the humility of spirit. Watch this. To resist the temptation of telling the world that I did it. No. Remember your Savior, he's lowly, he's humble, he's meek in spirit. And when they asked you, that is the moment, the opportunity the Holy Spirit gives us to tell the world, Jesus did it. That's who healed my body. Now when I got healed, I was at Presbyterian Hospital. But Presbyterian and their doctors and nurses did not heal me. They helped me recover, oh my God, afterwards. But somewhere in the midnight hour, the Lord came by. He stopped in my room, touched my body, anointed my head, encouraged my soul and lifted me up. That's who did it. That's who did it. That's why I love him so. That's why I shout Hosanna. The Son of David did it. That's who did it for me. And my message to you is that that same Jesus, I wish I had my real church, will do it also. Do I have a witness? Look at somebody and say, he'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. Your body, your family, your sister, he will. His name, we shout Hosanna. Forty days after his resurrection, Christ ascends back into heaven. But before he goes, he gives final instructions. Tells those that are gathered on the mountain, go ye therefore into all of the earth, preaching, teaching, baptizing them. And tell them the meaning of the word Hosanna. The only one who is able to save us from our sins. What a shame it would be to leave this time of fellowship, whether in person, whether online, and not get to know Jesus yourself. The Bible says the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't resist them any further. Don't turn your back on them any longer. Just because he's humble and lonely, don't miss the Savior as he's passing by. Woo! I feel his glory right here. He's passing by. Now is your chance. Now is your moment. Now is your opportunity to shout Hosanna. Lord, save me. Save my house, my family. Don't let us die in ours. Let me become a joint heir with Christ. Say Hosanna today to the Savior. Not a dead Savior, but a risen Savior. He's alive today. He's alive right now. He's alive. Woo! I feel the glory of God in this place. Reach your hand out to him. Lift your voice unto God. All over this building. With a quiet voice, just say, Hosanna. Hosanna. Here am I, Lord. Save me. Hosanna. In the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Save me. Woo! He's passing by. Reach out and touch the Lord. Whether you're here in the sanctuary, whether you're upstairs in the overflow, whether you're joining via the internet, reach out and touch the Lord while he is passing by. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Get what you need. He's here now. Get what you need. Get what you're missing. Get what you lack. He's able. Don't go home the same way you came. If you're going to go back the same way, you would have been better served staying in your pajamas and slippers on the sofa. I assume you came because you needed him. I assume you came because you needed something in your life that the world could not give. My job is to just tell you his name is Jesus. The prophet from Nazareth. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Time for a private moment between you and God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Talk to him now. Don't talk to your pastor. Don't talk to your pen pal. Don't talk to your partner. Take advantage. Speak to the Son of David right now. Tell him, Hosanna. Tell him that you believe that he alone can save me. Tell him. Go ahead. Tell him. Tell him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Hosanna. Jesus, Lord, I need you more now than I've ever needed you before. Hosanna.
Woo! Hear my cry. Give ear to my plea. You know my situation. You know my condition. Your eyes are everywhere. Nothing is hidden from the Lord Most High. I need you. I need you now. More than I've ever needed you before. Talk to him, church. Tell him, Hosanna. That's my praise this Sunday. We'll shout hallelujah next Sunday. But this Sunday, I'm shouting, Hosanna. I need the Lord to save me. I need the Lord to revive me again. Woo! Because he hears. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but he is long suffering to usward. Get this, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Here we are, Lord Jesus, your people, gathered in your house, gathered in your name, and around your word. Now, our spirit, we say, Hosanna to the Son of David and to the Lord Most High. Very softly, put your hands together and worship the Lord. Thank him for what he's done. Go ahead, keep praying. To thank him for what he is doing. How many know you got to hold on to what God does? Because if you don't hold on to it, the enemy will snatch it away. Touch three people, tell them, hold on to it. Don't let the devil steal it. Don't let the devil take it away. He promised you. Oh, bless the name of the Lord forever. The one who sits on the throne of David and shall reign from sea to sea and for all eternity. God bless you, Taylor. Thank you for being such a faithful audience. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your affection. Not for me, but for the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God alone that can save us. And so at this time, I'm going to bring up next person on our program, Sister Anani Samuel. She is coming, and she's going to give us our instructions for giving and also our announcements, after which the First Lady and I will be back for the benediction. Amen? God bless you. Come on, Anani.
COVID free.
Good morning, good morning. So at this time, we gather to worship through giving. This morning you may give through numerous ways, including text message. You can even mail it to us or go to our website. If you are giving through text, please text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. If you choose to give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. If you choose to give by mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia 19319. For those who are here in person, you can, if you notice to your left, there are two baskets on the windowsill. You can give with in sealed envelopes either your tithes and offerings or a donation to the preacher. On your way out, we ask that you leave your sealed envelopes in the basket. Moving on to our announcements today. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us for the reopening of church. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live, so that you may continue to join us and worship from your home. When you do decide to join us in person, we ask that you take your temperature before leaving your home, wear a mask while in the sanctuary, and if you've had contact with anyone with COVID, you ask that you please stay at home. The church van is back in operation. You can call Brother Sean Kimball directly, or you can call the church by Friday night to request pickup for next Sunday's service. We are looking for volunteers to serve as passenger assistants to help riders. Additionally, we are looking for drivers. If you are interested in serving in this capacity, please call Deacon Todd McCoy or the church via the website. April 22nd is Earth Day. For Earth Day, Sankofa Farm will be located in Southwest Philadelphia. We'll host a conversation on the role of faith and Thank you. Our conversation will be featured as part of the WURD radio show, Reality Check, and will be moderated by host Charles Ellison between 10 and 12 p.m. with a light lunch following. April 24th will be Holy Communion and Passover. Pastor Jonathan Ford and Rabbi David Strauss of the Mainline Reformed Temple will be leading our service, during which we will celebrate both Christian Communion and the Jewish Passover. We will have special seating arrangements on both the sanctuary and the overflow levels to accommodate both our congregations. Please come prepared to welcome our neighbors and experience communion like never before. We do ask that you arrive early, because this is something you don't want to miss at all. Now, a meeting following the service, First Lady Jemai Ford, please meet her in the garden. We will be planting our first seeds of the season. We will be planting a lot of different things. So we have basil, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrot, chives, collard greens, corn, eggplant, lettuce, oregano, parsley, peas, peppers, watermelon, 2 apple trees, 6 apple trees, and 2 cherry trees. So we ask that you please come join us in the garden, and that will be April 24th. If you do have a prayer request, we ask that you visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and go to our prayer request page, or you can call the church at 215-748-4578 and leave a voicemail so we can respond to you. Remember, for those who are watching, please hit subscribe on YouTube and or Facebook, and make sure to follow us so you can stay up and informed on everything we have going on at the church. Again, good morning and happy Easter.
Now, it's my job to amend the announcements, and the fault lays at my feet. Jemai's coming up. But just so you know, we are not planting anything today. That's not Anani's fault. Based on our schedule, we thought we would have dirt delivered by now and into the garden bed that so many of you has helped us to build, especially our young people. Thank you for that. But unfortunately, we have not received our dirt. And so as a result, we can't plant our seeds, okay? So today, in 2 minutes, when this service is over, love on everybody and get home as fast as you can. Raise your hand if you got a ham in the oven.
Good.
But I just wanted to share. So there's nothing going on after church today. Oh, did she say next week? Oh, okay.
We still have next week?
Yes, we are. Well, good. Tag team. we may have it next week if we get the dirt. That's my point I was trying to say. Lynn and David is telling us we haven't received. We're at the mercy of someone else to deliver the dirt. That's what I'm saying. So if we have it, we'll do it. And if we don't, we'll be waiting to get. Go. Only if the pastor gets one first. Let's be clear about that. I got to get the first Easter egg, all right? Sure, that's no problem. And Jermaine's going to say something to that as well. But before Jermaine goes, I want to say this, that my father, Bishop James Ford, for all of our young people, is challenging them to read the Bible in a year. And if they are able to read the Bible in a year, before this time next year, my father, Bishop James Ford, is giving $100 to that person. Okay? Yeah, thank him for his generosity. Thank him for his generosity. Now, this is for our young people. Our young people are in YLE. That means they're still in school. Okay? And it will require some type of documentation from the parent. So this is not just say, next Easter, Bishop, I read. You know, you got to have something that your parents validate. Yes, they did read over the summer into the fall. But that's his challenge. And I'm going to tell you what inspired him is that he has, within these first 4 months, read through the entire Old Testament. From Genesis to Malachi, and he's now halfway through the New Testament. And just out of his own excitement of finally being able to read through the Bible, this is what he said. I wish I would have done this a long time ago, right? And as a result, he's trying to encourage, inspire our young people. Do it now. Right. I know you're busy and I know you got 1,000 things going on, but read through the Word of God in its entirety now. Yeah. It will bless you. Amen. Okay? So that was it. Now we're going to turn it over to the First Lady.
Amen. 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 Bless you. So I'm not going to keep you long. I know I have a ton to do before Easter dinner is ready, as many of you do. But Sister Christina said that she wants the children to stay behind in order, I'm guessing, to get a little treat. What I want to do is ask my helpers, my two youngest sons, Jackson and Jacob, who I might have an obstructed view. I may not be able to see. Can you guys come up front and get those bags for me? They stayed up yesterday and they helped to for me to do some turning the tide work. So as many of you know, the garden is part of turning the tide. Go get those bags and then bring them out. I had to use them as helpers yesterday. Turning the Tide not only has the garden as an initiative, the garden is actually our newest initiative. Many of you know that we have the computer center as well, but our biggest initiative has been really within the last year, which is it's timely and it's going to be ongoing, is our social impact initiative arm. We were tasked with some grants from in partnership with Temple and the Public Health Management Corporation. Turning the Tide received some substantial grants to really be a resource in this community, which we have been, as well as the Ardmore community in partnership with Bethel AME Church of Ardmore, doing COVID clinics, COVID testing, handing out information. We're going to continue. I encourage each of you to go to our website, www.turningthetidephilly.org, to get information about free COVID clinics, regardless of insurance. Testing, free COVID clinics, free information. Call the Turning the Tide line if you need any information or any help regarding that, getting to another clinic that you need, if you need help, if you know anyone who needs help. But on that note, in the Easter baskets, which goes just one to each family, because I only have about 20 or 25 of them, one to each family, we have testing kits. Some people are not able to get out and get tested, and they don't have kits because they can be quite costly. You may not have received your free kit in the mail. So in the baskets, in addition to candy and hand sanitizer and paper tissue, we have testing kits, one per family, and chocolate. Yes, they stuffed it with chocolate. So please, before you leave, please make sure that you get one, okay? And that's on behalf of Turning the Tide and our COVID-19 resource initiative. We actually call it Love Your Neighbor. It's on some of the baskets. But feel free to visit our website for more information. But it is our way to wish you a healthy and happy Easter. So God bless.
Great. Shall we all stand? Looking unto heaven, Father, we thank you for the privilege that has been ours today to gather in this sacred place with this sacred people consecrated unto God through our faith and belief in the blood of Jesus Christ. So as we depart this place, but not your presence, we ask that you would go with us, ask that you stand by us and fight for us and give us the victory as we tell the world who Jesus is. We thank you and we praise you, and above all, we love you and adore you. And all of God's people shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, Taylor. Enjoy your Easter.